Now, may I read for you Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 to 9. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which be of faith, those who believe, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, the Gentiles, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith, those who believe, are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, it's not difficult to tell the general subject here. It's faith, believing. Paul had been reproving the Galatians for trying to add the works of the flesh to God's wonderful plan of salvation by grace through faith alone. He had challenged them, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh, by submitting the circumcision and the rituals of the law?" And now he presses the argument home. The subject is faith. Five times in this one passage, the same word in the original, believe, faith, 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 faithful. Now, I should make it clear here first that the word faith simply means believe, or to believe. Verse 6, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 9, so then they which be of faith, those who believe, these are the children of Abraham. Secondly, the word faithful here, the children of faithful Abraham, are blessed with faithful Abraham. The children is in the two verses above. The word faithful means full of faith. Now, that's very important, because it doesn't use the word subjectively. A man may be faithful in his character. That's what he is. But Abraham was faithful in the sense that he was full of faith, that he believed God. He always believed God, whatever he said or whatever he did. So the general argument is that those who simply believe, who take God at his word, are blessed with believing Abraham. There's nothing difficult about that. Nothing hard about verse 6. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Seems hard for sinners and unbelievers to accept it, but it's plain. Nothing difficult about verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, those who believe, the same are the children of Abraham. Nothing difficult about verse 9. So then they which be of faith, those who believe, are blessed with faithful Abraham. But the problem arises with verse 8, where it says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. That's the difficult one. Now, perhaps it'll simplify matters if we first notice clearly what the passage does not say. You keep your eye on verse 8 and notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that the scriptures foretold that God would justify the Gentiles through faith. It says foreseeing, not foretelling. Second, it does not say that God told Abraham that he would justify the heathen through faith. Is what God foresaw, but he only told Abraham that he would be a blessing to all nations. And by the way, that really was gospel. That was good news indeed, wasn't it? He preached the gospel, the good news to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. If God told me that, I'm sure it would be good news to me. Number three, it does not say that the scriptures foresaw that God would justify the heathen through Christ. This would have been true, but that's not the point here. The point is that God was going to justify the heathen through faith. at the point of the context in general. And he was going to do this in Abraham, and we'll see in a moment why. Number four, it doesn't say that God preached to Abraham the good news that he was justified by faith. It wasn't until more than 500 years later that God moved Moses to write that Abraham believed in the Lord and God counted to him for righteousness. Number five, it doesn't say that God would bless the nations through Abraham's seed. That was true too, but that is not the point here. It says God will bless all nations in you. That's what it says in the original promise, Genesis 12:3, and here it's quoted, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." And number six, finally, it does not say that like thee shall all nations be blessed. If it said that, the problem would be easily solved. But we might miss a great truth that the Word of God has for us. But how then can we harmonize Paul's quotation from Genesis with his argument of the whole context that the Gentiles are justified through faith? Rather than conclude that Paul, much less the Holy Spirit, made a poor choice of a text to prove his point here, let's ask ourselves the basic question involved. How was Abraham to prove a blessing to all nations? Paul's whole argument in Galatians 3:6-9, as we've seen, is that God justifies poor, lost Gentiles by faith. But why does Paul say that God, foreseeing this, preached the good news to Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed"? If he had chosen some quotation which said, "By faith shall all nations be blessed," then there wouldn't be any question. But the quotation he did choose seems at first sight a bit beside the point. Notice it doesn't say, "In thy seed," but "In thee shall all nations be blessed." It's true that Abraham has proved and will prove a blessing to the world because of the seed that issued from him. But it's significant that this original promise holds out blessing to the world through Abraham himself. But how was Abraham himself to prove a blessing to the world? There's only one answer. And it reminds us immediately of how Paul became a blessing to the world. The answer in Abraham's case is, Abraham was God's great example of faith. If there's anything that stands out in the record of Abraham's life, it's the fact that he believed God. Even the Encyclopedia Britannica calls special attention to the fact that the outstanding characteristic of Abraham's life was his implicit and childlike faith. In Scripture, he's constantly held up as God's great example of faith. Especially is this true of the Pauline epistles. To the Jew who goes about to establish his own righteousness by religious works and boasts that he belongs to the circumcision, Paul exclaims, "Why, your own father, Abraham, was justified by faith without works. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness which he already had by faith." And Paul uses the same argument to persuade the Gentiles that salvation is by grace through faith alone. It was because God had chosen Abraham as the great example of faith that he said, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." Now let's read again Galatians 3:6-9, and see how simple and consistent this all is, and how appropriate is Paul's quotation of Genesis. I'm reading now Galatians 3:6-9. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." God said, now I'm not quoting, I'm speaking myself now. God says, "This man trusts me, he believes me. How can I do anything but save him?" All right, now let's go on. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, those who believe, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith, preached before the good news to Abraham, the man of faith, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith, those who believe, are blessed with faithful, with believing Abraham. Now it's most remarkable that God should have chosen Abraham to be the great example of faith. For if you should ask me, who is the most honored, most esteemed, most revered man of all history, there could be but one answer: Abraham. Years ago, I had a class of boys, and I asked them a question: who is the most revered, most honored, most respected man of all history? And it was during the Ethiopian conflict or conquest of many years ago, and this boy shot up his hand, and I said, who? He said, Mussolini. Some of the other boys laughed because Mussolini was not so highly respected here in America. Another boy raised his hand, and he had sort of a sanctimonious look. He knew he had the answer. I said, all right, who's the most honored, most respected man of all history? And the boy said, Jesus. But he was wrong. In this respect, Moses and David and Solomon couldn't stand in Abraham's shadow. And as to Christ, he should be the most honored. But alas, his name is still blasphemed on every street corner. He's still rejected of men. He's still an exile from his own world. Without question, Abraham is and has always been looked up to by greater numbers of people than any character in history. The millions of Israel, though fallen and scattered all over the world, still speak with great reverence of our father Abraham. Then there are many millions more of professing Christians, whether truly saved or not, who also look up to Abraham as the father of believers. Besides these, there are some 300 million Mohammedans who also claim Abraham as their father. How appropriate, then, that God should point to him as the great example of justification by faith and say, listen to Abraham, the one who you respect so highly. Now, it's further significant that Abraham, God's great example of faith, was raised up so long before Paul, his great example of grace. Some centuries after Abraham, God was to give Israel the Mosaic Law. If they obeyed this indeed, he said, they would be his peculiar treasure. But even then, God would show them that obedience to the law in itself could not procure his favor. It was only as they took the law seriously to be God's word and sought to obey it because it was God's word that they could gain his favor. In other words, only as an expression of their faith in God could the works of the law save them. It was the obedience of faith that God desired, and every Jew could look back to his physical father Abraham to learn this lesson. For Abraham had been justified by faith apart from works. But while all this could be understood by every Jew, the dispensation of the grace of God couldn't begin until sin had abounded to such a degree that even Israel, God's chosen people, joined the Gentiles in rebellion against Christ. Don't you remember, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound? It was as sin thus abounded that Saul, the flaming leader of the world's rebellion against God, was saved and sent forth as Paul, the great example and the great apostle of God's grace. But now that God's grace has been manifested so freely, there's all the more reason to accept it by simple faith. God says, I've done it all for you. I've paid for your sins myself through the death of Christ at Calvary. Will you trust me? Will you believe it? Will you believe that what I say is true and trust Christ as your Savior? And that's why Paul, the great example of grace, points to Abraham, the great example of faith, urging all men everywhere to follow in his steps. Hear him plead in the last verses of Romans and the Romans 4 and the first of Romans 5. I beg your pardon, the first five verses of Romans 4. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to boast, but not before God. Men can boast, but don't try it before him. He knows everything. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But, now listen carefully, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his believing, is counted for righteousness. Beloved, I didn't say that. God says it. He shows first how he took this poor heathen idolater. He came from an idolatrous family. They made and worshipped, at least the family worshipped, idols of wood and stone. And God revealed himself to Abram and said, come on, Abraham, I'm going to show you something better. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Later he showed him the stars of heaven and said, count the stars, Abram. Abram says, I couldn't do that. God says, so shall I seed thee. And Abram believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So let me repeat this fifth verse of Romans 5. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his believing, is counted for righteousness, just like Abraham's was counted to him for righteousness. In fact, Romans 4:23 says, now it was not written for Abraham's sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And then verse 1 of chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says in Galatians 3:9 that God preached good news to Abraham when he said, I'm going to bless all nations in you. You're going to be the one that I'm going to point to as the example of faith. That's why he says in Galatians 3:9, so then they which be of faith, those who believe, are blessed with faithful Abraham. Do you want to be blessed with Abraham? Do you want it said of you, truly said, that he believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness? Then make Abraham your example in this. Believe God. Believe his word that he gave Christ to die for you. Oh, whether you're Jew or Gentile, look at Abraham and learn from him. He believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness.